need to wash your hands? I have some hand sanitizer right here now.
No, I just need to use the restroom. Oh,
have you got a bladder problem? For heaven's sakes. I would go to the doctor one of these days and have him look at this.
I'd rather not talk
about this. Well, you know, I had a bladder problem once, and I laughed so hard once I stained my clothes. And I was so embarrassed. It was awkward. Oh, you know, you shouldn't really worry. You've got dark pants on. Nobody will notice.
When he heard the word cancer, everything in his world stopped. And over the next few weeks, as with the doctors, they explored the options available to him, he found himself reviewing every part of his life. Why am I here? What's my life all about? And if my life is significantly shorter than I thought it was going to be, what do I do? He found himself asking questions that he really hadn't thought about in a long time, including some questions about God. Is this life all that there is? And if this God, Jesus thing, if there's anything to it at all, he had some questions to ask of God, too. Of a God who allows cancer in a world. And so it was with this jumbled mess of questions in his mind that he started on a bit of a journey. And started looking for some answers. And that's how he found himself in that church parking lot. Maybe it was the cross, because, you know, he drove down the highway every day, and he could see the cross up on the hill, and there was something about that. He thought, you know, something about it just seemed to call to him. He'd heard about the church a few times. He heard the pastor on the radio, and the guy seemed nice enough, so thought, well, if I'm investigating some God questions, this church is probably as good as any, right? And so as he pulled into the parking lot, he was a fair amount early for the service, just because he didn't know where things were and didn't know where the church was, and so he wanted to leave early enough that he would get there in time, but now it's, you know, a good 15, 20 minutes before things were supposed to start. And so it was kind of weird. And as he was walking towards the building, even though most of what, you know, he was there because he had God questions. He wasn't really worried about the people part of it so much. He started to think about the people issues too. And he had some concerns. He realized he was in a t-shirt and jeans. And he thought, is this a dress-up church? You know, where I need to have a certain dress code or people are going to, like, look down at me? And so there were some fears that were starting to run through his mind. Will anybody care whether or not I'm there? Will anybody single me out and maybe poke, you know, point at me or something? Or what if I say something dumb? What if I don't know the secret handshake? And so he walked through the front doors. There were some fears that were speaking in his mind at that point. Jimmy, you don't really belong here. These people, they don't know you. Why should they care about you? Speaking many thoughts in his mind. Well, as I said, he arrived there kind of early, and so as he's standing in the foyer, he could see there's some doors. It looks like there's a big room on the other side. He thinks that might be the sanctuary. I don't know for sure. He can hear noises happening. There's like a drums or something in the other room. Boom, 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 boom. Like just random drum noises. Like, what is that? I don't understand. And sounds like a guitar player's tuning up an amp. Crank, 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 crank. And then a couple of Led Zeppelin riffs and then crank. And then we didn't know what was going on with that. And then there was some people walking past with clipboards. Like they were late for something and they were looking down at things and they were getting all these things together. And the fear started to roll through his mind in fresh ways. Nobody notices you. You can leave now, and nobody would even know whether or not you're here. And that's when, just as he was getting ready to turn around and leave, like one part of him really wanted to do, there was a woman on the couch just to the left in the foyer, and she had crutches by her, like maybe she was hurt or something. And she turned, and she saw him standing there by the door, kind of looking around. And with great effort, she got up and started to make her way over to Jimmy. And though neither one of them at the time really knew it, the next words she spoke would actually determine where the next step of this journey he was on would go. These were life-changing words, though it didn't really seem like it in the moment. And so that's why Jimmy's life was so deeply impacted when she walked up to him with her crutches and she said, "What do you hope she would say right then?"
"Hi, my name is. We're so glad you're here."
"Hey, beautiful, what's your spiritual gift?" Now, the point of this story is that this is a story that happens every single day. Every single weekend, every single worship service. I remember when our family first moved to Chicago, that'd be about 15 years ago, and I was starting off in seminary. I mean, I'm like a church kid, you know, learning how to be a pastor. And so we started looking for churches, and there was a church just down the street that we'd heard some good things about. It was an older congregation, but we loved that. And our oldest daughter, who's just acting, by the way, still proud of her, she was like 4 months old, and she was, just being a little kid, and, you know, would cry sometimes and coo and make noise, and we had all our stuff, you know, all the baby supplies, and we're making it into the church. And I remember we sat about three quarters of the way back in the pews, and few minutes into the service, Lauren started to make some noises, just this cute little cooing sounds. And the person in front of us turned around and gave us the look. The "you're disturbing me" look. Give your neighbor that look just for a second. Not somebody you don't know. That'll totally freak him out. But if you see somebody close, give them the look. They're like, "Do I have to put up with you for another 10 minutes look?" You know, kind of roll your eyes. Ugh, ugh. And we never went back. We never went back. Now, I'm sure this was a fine congregation. And they had plenty of good ministry. But, you know, we all have had those points where, like, trying to find a church home is crazy hard. And most of the time, when somebody is looking for a church home, they're in a time of transition in their life. So whether that is, you know, they've just moved to an area, and now they're trying to find, like, some people to share life and faith with, or they're in transitions of other sorts. They've been single and now they're married and they're thinking, okay, what are we going to change with our life? You know, they thought they didn't have kids, but wow, now we have kids and what do we do? Or we were married and now I'm single and what do I do? Or you get some health thing or something disrupts life and we find ourselves in these times of transition, these tender spots. And we make these huge, huge decisions about where we're going to grow and who we're going to do life with and where we're going to find support. And so much of it happens in those first few moments. So as we start this series called My Friend Jesus and His Weirdly Mutant Body, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but I mean, it's this idea that, we all want to walk with Jesus, but sometimes this church thing, the getting along with other Christians thing, it's weird, and it can be really hard. So I wanted us to start the conversation over the next 4 weeks with the place that the relationship starts, which is the gift of hospitality. The biblical gift. So I want us to take a deeper look at something that probably you already think you know pretty well. Because most of us like to think of ourselves as being hospitable people. Because all of us like to think of ourselves as friendly. But I want us to take a much deeper look at what the Bible says about hospitality and allow it to speak into our lives. So we're looking at some of the one another passages, starting with Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. So get your Bibles out, if you would. Whether the paper Bibles, they're fantastic. There's some extra copies in the back, or maybe you have a digital Bible on your phone. But wanted us to take a really good look at this passage. So, since we're going to go deep with a couple of short passages, let's read them out loud together. Now, I'm going to be reading from the NIV, and up on the screen is the NIV, but let's try just saying it all together as a church family, okay? Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Verse 3. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Okay, let's take a quick look at that. We're going to go back over that verse again, or those verses again, and take a look at some things. So, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, the author writes. Then it says, do not, what's that next word?
Forget.
Do not forget. Now, if you need to be reminded about something, do not forget to floss, right? What does that tell you about the activity that you're being reminded of? You're supposed to do it, and it's easy to forget it. So don't forget to do this, folks. Don't forget to do this. It's very important, and it can easily slip your mind. So don't forget to do this. To show hospitality to who? Strangers. Strangers. There's a difference between fellowship and hospitality. We're going to look at that in a minute. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to who? Angels. Without knowing it. Now, that kind of blows my mind a bit. I don't understand all of this passage. But this much I do know. See, when angels show up in the scripture, the Greek word is angelos. It means messenger. And angels generally show up in the Bible in two ways. One way is they show up as this fully revealed messenger of God, like usually as a warrior figure of some sort. That's why every time an angel shows up, their first words to the person who's seeing the angel is, fear not. Because the person is freaked out. You know, I need a fresh set of shorts because I just saw an angel. I do not want to be touched by the angel because I might die. So that is one way that people experience angels. It's dramatic and it's rare and it's incredibly exciting, apparently. Now, the other way that angels show up in the scripture are kind of incognito. They show up as sort of messengers. Like there's a story back in Genesis of three visitors coming to Abraham, and then they have a conversation and he kind of realizes these are messengers from God. So sometimes angels show up and they just look like absolutely regular people. It's only after you get to know them that you realize they have a message from God for you. Now, I don't know how to understand all of this verse, but I do know this. I don't want to miss out on what God has to say to me. And I need to realize that very often, the messages that God has for me, or at least sometimes, the messages God has for me, they're cleverly disguised in a stranger. Someone that I didn't think I had anything in common with, and they have something to say to me, and it will deeply impact my life. I I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. How about you? How about you? Then it says, continue to remember those in prison. What's the next three words? As if you. As if you. As if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated, as if you. That's the other secret of hospitality we find in the scriptures. Hospitality is an expression of empathy. It is saying, what would it be like for me to be in their shoes right now? What would it be like for me to be in prison right now? And how can I treat that person in a way that I would wish to be treated if I were in prison? What would it be like if I was suffering right now? How would I hope that somebody would treat me? Well, that's the secret to empathy. That's the secret to hospitality, rather. It's empathy, as if you... Then there's another passage in 1 Peter. I want to go there real quick. So, there we go. So it says, next one. Yeah. One more. You got to give props to our media team, because like following me when I'm preaching is like walking with a Britney Spaniel. It's just not good. We're going to go on an exciting journey, but we don't know where things are exactly going to go. Okay. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Peter writes to the churches. Offer hospitality to who? One another without what?
Grumbling.
Now that also tells us something about real hospitality. Hospitality requires us to go beyond ourselves. That's why we need to be reminded, don't forget to do hospitality. Don't forget to do this. Because sometimes it's hard. It's hard. It may not come naturally to you. So do it without grumbling. No whining about it. Just do it. So let's take a look at the difference between fellowship and hospitality. Because see, most of us think I'm a hospitable person because I'm friendly. Yeah? Who here is friendly? No, we're all friendly. Okay. But we're friendly to our friends. Right? That's the difference. See, fellowship is caring for somebody I already know well. Is fellowship important? Yes, it's super important. It is the backbone of the church. It's what we're all about. And fellowship is not necessarily hospitality, because hospitality is caring for someone I don't yet know well. It's that first step. It's the first thing. And here's the key to hospitality, okay? Is I will welcome you like I wish to be welcomed. I will put myself in your shoes. And you know, every week we have a Jimmy or a Jane or a Sarah or a Johnny. Somebody is taking a first brave step into church somewhere. And God has been doing something in their life that is causing them to take that step. Whether that's he managed to give them a Christian friend who cared about them and invited them. That'd be awesome. Or, you know, maybe they've really got some questions. They're going through something. They're in a transitional point in life. And so the question to ask is, how would I wish to be treated? So here's some questions. Like, so how would I hope to be greeted by people? Do you like being ignored? No. Do you like it when people single you out like you're like guppies in a piranha tank? You know? Probably not. Probably not that either. How would I wish to be treated? How would I wish to be greeted, I'd rather? What information would I want to know? And you walk into the door of a church or any other place. What are the things that you're wondering about? And can I find that information? Okay. What tone of interaction would make me feel welcome? All our first-time guests, please stand up. We're going to hand you a microphone and interview you right now. No, please, we're not. Don't worry. We're not. Because I don't like being put on the spot, do you? But I also don't like being ignored, do you? So what's the tone of the interaction? So you put yourself in the place of the other. Especially the person that is taking that first tender step into a church community. So here's a couple of practical tips. When I'm doing leadership classes and talking about what's it mean to be a Christian leader and to show hospitality, here's some things. So I'll go through it pretty quick. You might have heard this stuff before, but here's the thing. The Bible says don't forget to do this. So we're going to remind each other. Here's some good things to remember. So learn some good conversation starters. You know, what are some questions that really can create a safe environment for you to get to know somebody? Maybe something like, do you live in the Wenatchee Valley? That's a good one. Or how long have you, if their answer is yes, how long have you lived in the Wenatchee Valley? What are some things that you like to do? What do you like about what you do? And because here's the thing. Those conversation starters. I used to get really bothered by church small talk, you know, until I realized there is no such thing as small talk. It really isn't. There's no such thing as chit-chat. What is happening in every interaction around you is people are trying to figure out, are you somebody that actually cares about me or not? Are you actually a safe place to talk or not? And so the conversation behind the conversation is you're showing interest in the thing that they do. And getting to know the person is you're communicating, either I care about you or, well, maybe I don't. So if you can, you look for some common ground. So you've lived in the Wenatchee Valley for 5 years. That's wonderful. What do you like to do? I like to hike. Oh, I like to hike too. Where do you like to hike? What do you like about hiking? Oh, I just love getting up on the mountaintops and just seeing the view. Oh, that's fantastic. I've been up Saddle Rock a few times. I really love it up there. Have you tried Saddle Rock before? Well, no, I haven't. How do you get to there? But you can start a conversation. You find some common ground on some area of interest. Now, here's the other piece about finding common ground. It's maybe just a good reminder. You probably know this because when it happens to you, it really bugs you, but we do it to the people around us. So I'm reminding you and me together that if the conversation at that point becomes all about you, it's no longer about them. So if then you go on to talk for 4 or 5 minutes about all the hikes you've been on and your new hiking gear, then it's not actually about them anymore. So you keep the conversation, keep the focus on the person you're trying to demonstrate care to, because the conversation behind the conversation is, I see you, I care about you, and I want to get to know you. That's hospitality. It can also be appropriate to show appropriate touch. I know maybe we don't need reminders on this, but maybe we do. All of us, we need touch. But we need it in appropriate ways. So appropriate ways, things like a handshake. I'm going to, since Carl's one of our best greeters in the church, he's not actually, help me out, would you? Okay? So you shake somebody's hand. Shake somebody's hand. You can also touch elbows. Elbows are safe. You can touch elbows, you know? But do appropriate touch. Appropriate touch. So with that little reminder, let me just ask you a question. For you. How are you hoping to grow in hospitality? Because, see, most of you, many of us, we think, I'm a friendly person to our friends, to the people I know. So before you get to, you blow this off too fast. How often in the last month have you initiated a caring conversation with somebody you don't yet know? Some of you right now are like, grrr. Remember, no grumbling. Gotcha. Bible, got a verse. Okay. How are you hoping to grow in hospitality? How often do you initiate caring contact with someone you don't yet know? I want you to imagine something with me. What do you think would happen if we all did that? So, every week, God is sending people into our congregation. And I really believe we are poised for growth. I am so excited about our future. We are about to be fully staffed as a congregation. We're coming into the summer fully funded. We've been given this amazing building. We've got a good reputation in the community. We've got incredible talent. We've got drama directors like Laura who helped put together that skit today. We're getting some drama camps fired up this summer. We've got an intern coming this summer to lead some music camps. We're going to be reaching out in creative ways. We have musical groups out in the community. We have a fantastic community service leader leading fantastic community service. And as we all get involved with that, thousands of kids could be fed. And people aren't dumb. They know where the help's coming from. Amazing, amazing things can happen. I really believe this is the year by this fall, by November, we're going to be worshiping more than 300 people here. On a typical weekend, our Saturday night service is going to grow from 30 to 40 people to 75, 80. And we're going to, whether that's in one service or two services Sunday morning, we're still trying to figure that stuff out. We're going to see another, 250-ish people here on a Sunday morning. I believe that. We are poised for this. We have been waiting for this moment, and it is coming. It is here, and I do not want to miss it. Because here's the thing. Because here's the big church growth strategy. You ready for it? You ready? Ready? God will never send us more people than we can love. That's our church growth strategy. We are not looking for better marketing. We're not looking for slicker programs. What we are looking is to increase our capacity to care. So as we have connection groups, and we're getting ready to have a couple dozen of them this fall. Connection groups where people can connect. We are raising up a care team for care. Part of what I'm looking forward to is that we will have very soon a network in place so that every week, the at least 400 of the about 900 people that call Columbia Grove their church home will have some form of caring contact every single week. Because I know that lives change when somebody believes that somebody else gives a rip about them. You could be a part of that team. You could be a part of that team. I hope you do. That you start saying, I'm gonna take responsibility for demonstrating care to five or six people in my world. I'm going to pray for them on a regular basis, and every now and then I'm going to let them know in some appropriate way. That's our big strategy. That's our big strategy. God will never, every person that comes is a gift, and God will never give us more people than we can love. So God, would you increase our capacity to love? I am completely committed to that. I hope you are too. I am all in. I want you to imagine what could happen if we all did that. Where friendliness happens, not because somebody says, hey, greet the people around you. Oh, okay. Hey, I tolerate you. It's good to see you here. Yeah. But we're just, there's just natural connections in our church. People know the difference between phony and real. But let us not forget to show hospitality. It makes all the difference in the world. As we do, dozens of people will come to Christ because there are people in those tender places that are asking those big questions, and they just need to see the love of Christ demonstrated before their heart is going to be open to actually receive it and respond to it. We're going to see people baptized, taking these brand new steps of faith. We're going to see addicts finding the strength to finally beat the demon that has been knocking them down for years. They're going to find freedom because they're going to find Christian community. That's how it works. That can happen. And God can do that. I believe he wants to do that right here as we do this together. So let us not forget to show hospitality to strangers and fellowship to one another. So here's the question. Talk to somebody close by about this question. When have you been welcomed well? And what made it a good experience? So just talk to somebody. Bonus points if it's somebody you don't know very well, because who knows, maybe by the end of the conversation you'll actually know something about them and you'll have some form of connection. So just take a minute or two about that. The band's going to come up in a moment. We're going to worship. We're going to commit ourselves to the Lord. But just take a moment or two and talk to somebody. Let me lead us in a time of prayer as conversations are wrapping up. If you're in a great conversation, you don't need to stop it right away. Lord, may this church be a place that welcomes well. Because God, we know that people matter to you. We recognize that when somebody is taking that bold step of faith and they are starting to connect with the Christian community, it's very often because you are calling them and you're doing something new in their life. God, we don't want to miss out on that. God, we recognize that even some of the people that we have an opportunity to welcome, they may be somebody that can speak truth into our lives in ways that transform us. They might be an angel in disguise to us of some sort. We don't want to miss out. So Lord, would you increase Columbia Grove's capacity to love? Lord, help us to care well for the people around us. And Lord, help us to care well for the community that we are in, for one another. And Lord Jesus, it is all about you. Your grace is transformative. And you change us from the inside out. You are all to us. You are everything. And we want people to know about you. So Lord, bless us in mission.